Good morning. And how are you? We are particularly blessed when God looks at us today and begins with the first time he says something is not good, right? He tells us what is good. He created the heavens. It's good. Man is good. The animals good. Everything's good. When he creates woman, he says it's very good. And then now he says, it's not right or not good that the man should be alone. So then he forms woman for him. And the great thing about this is that God does it for us. Because now again, I've talked about before, you know, the man wasn't truly alone. He had animals there. And you know, we love our animals, but animals aren't enough as much as some of us want to make them enough. They just aren't. And God was there. But God wasn't a corporal being. He didn't become a corporal being until the incarnation when God became a man in Jesus Christ. You know, so he was spirit. So we know that he needed someone like him and yet that would complete him. And that's why men and women physically fit together. They complete one another. Men and women are different. I mean, people don't want us to be different, but ladies, men, we are different. Trust me. Very different. I work with all women. Well, Tim, you know, I work with all women at the parish. But the reality is we need this difference, right? We come and complete one another. That's the point. That God made us this way on purpose. And so what we got to do is we got to rejoice in that and know that this is of God. And when it comes to marriage, you know, because that's what it goes into, that this is what marriage is about. And the church from the beginning has talked about the beauty of marriage, the wonderfulness of marriage. Nowadays, people want to fight about marriage and fight about it in the church. And again, we demonize those who don't agree with us and we make them evil. And really, is that what God's calling us to do with this beautiful thing? This beautiful gift of marriage that God has given us, he gives it to us for us. So like when we get married, ideally, the purpose is you get married until when? To death. You're dead, huh? When I do weddings, I always say, you know what's happening here in front of everybody. I look at the girl and I say, isn't this great she's here today? But you do realize that this girl here is going to die. And everybody looks like, huh? Yep, she's going to die right here. And then, because she's going to look at her husband and say, I love you so much that I this day before God, before the crazy priest, before this community, give up my life for you, and bam, she dies. And then the guy looks at her and says, I love you so much that I this day before God, before the crazy priest, and before this community, give up my life for you, and he dies. And then God takes these two dead people, and he resurrects them, and he makes them one flesh. So I says, you can never look at each other and say, oh, I don't think I love you anymore. Sorry, you're dead. You gave your life for me. That's what happens, huh? And that's the call. And so marriage, of course, is between a man and a woman. You got to get married in the teaching of the church. You get married. You know, and a lot of young kids don't hear this anymore because we never preach about it. But for a person to be married who is Catholic, you must be married in the Catholic Church, correct? If you get married by a JP or you go down to the Protestant church, you're considered an invalid wedding. Huh? You need a dispensation for that. But life is messy. Have you found out life can be messy? In my life was messy. You know, I was, you know, my mom got married at 17 years old. She got married outside the Catholic Church, which was an invalid thing. And she married my father, who was not a Catholic. But then my father found out that when they got pregnant with me, that if they were not married when I was born in the Catholic Church in these days, you know, in the 60s, way back before Vatican II, I would be considered, you know, that word that begins with a B and ends with a D, dard, B, ard, whatever. So, and my father, now some of you think I am no matter what, but the reality was that if you were married outside the church, a kid born was illegitimate. And in those days, you could not be a priest either if you were from an illegitimate union. And so they changed that rule. You had to get a dispensation. So my father, out of love for his unborn child, went and got married to my mother in the church and had the marriage blessed. Huh? But that wasn't even enough, right? Because my mother has been married 3 times and my father is married twice. So what do we do with the messiness of life? Because it's very messy. Now, we can throw people under the bus and say, the rules are the rules, do it or go to hell. Well, that really works, doesn't it? You know, because again, when I was at prep and I told my prep kids, you got to do this or you're going to hell, they'd all say to me, that's okay, all my friends will be there. But hell's the ultimate aloneness, where it's ultimately we're alone forever. And so we always want to speak truth, and we always want to tell people where what the plan of God is for their life. But in the messiness of this, when God ultimately sat there and says it's not good that man is alone, he went beyond the messiness of husbands and wives. And he says, you know what? I don't want you to be alone. So I will become one of you. I will take on flesh with you. I will walk with you. I will be with you. And then in the second reading, you hear it clearly that by the grace of God, he tasted death for everyone. Why? So that which we are most afraid of, he says, I'll do it first. I'll die there. I'll die for your messiness. So the God of the universe doesn't judge the messiness until the end. He fixes the messiness by dying for it. He dies for our sin, because he doesn't want us to be separated from him forever. And then so he even goes into death and says, I am with you in death. I am with you throughout your life. It's not good you're alone. I will be with you physically. And he still does it today in the most blessed sacrament when we receive communion today. I am with you physically. I am in you. That this greatness comes for God. And what we do is, you know, again, some people like to just judge people who aren't living the life they're called to be. And again, I could do it, we can all do it, and we'll all feel great about ourselves. But that ain't what Jesus did. Remember the woman at the well? And he says, and go get your husband, right? And she says, I don't have a husband. Yeah, you're right there. You've had seven or whatever. The one you're living with now isn't your husband either. Did he say, now listen, you are going to hell? He didn't say that. He loved her. And see, this is the point. Again, if you've ever listened to me, you know it. Before God gives the Ten Commandments, he sets his people free first. That must be the order. Once we come to know the love of God, then we follow the commandments. The reason most people don't follow the commandments is because they've never experienced the love of God. Right? When, again, I was in Akron one year doing a theology on tap, and this righteous kid stood up. We were doing questions and answers. He said, Father, yes, how are we going to stop these kids from having sex before marriage? What are we going to do, Godfather, to stop it? Now, knowing him, thinking me, I'm going to say, well, just tell them they're going to hell. It'll work. It won't. But I says, what they need to do, what we need to do to stop this, is we got to share with them the gospel. They got to come to know Jesus and his love for them. And once they come to know Jesus and his love for them, they will then obey him and do his will. That's the way it has to work. But too many people just want to throw the rules, just want to throw the commandments. They don't want to throw Jesus. And that's why the world's a mess. Because people are trying to live these rules without knowing Jesus. And you do know we can't do that. Everything we do, then holiness is done by what? Grace. It's done with Jesus. So when people are trying to do things apart from Jesus, it's not working. We need to preach the gospel, the fullness of truth. But the fullness of truth is God is love, and that he loves us, and that he died for us. And once someone gets that, then they'll do everything else. So today, let's know where God's calling us to. Know that he's given us this great gift for our good. And when people's lives get messy, let's not just throw rocks at them, but let's preach to them the gospel, to walk with them, to pray with them, so that they would all come to know the love of Jesus and they may live his will. You got it? Get it? Gonna do it? May each of you know his love today and forever. Amen. Now, so